You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three, hour numero tres. So we are now headed into what we do every Wednesday at 4 p.m. We have this thing called the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than me. And we ping each other with questions and just kind of go around the horn and see what we think about different things. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we always love each other when it's done. So let me just call the roll real quick from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN up in Huntsville, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you with us?
Oh.
You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right, next on the line there from host of the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. All right, fellas, I pronounce a quorum. Let's hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, here we go. I'll tell you what, I haven't gone first in a while. Let me take the first one. So, as everybody knows, and I'm sure y'all have talked about on your shows, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals said no yesterday to the new congressional maps. This morning, Attorney General Marshall, it has been announced, says he will be appealing that. Secretary of State Wes Allen says he will be filing for an injunction asking them not to enforce any new maps for the time being. Here's the thing. I think this has ripple effects across the entire nation. And, oh, by the way, it just got said out loud by our only Democrat Congresswoman, Terry Sewell. She says, next on the list, Jefferson County Commission. They're coming after everything they can do to try and revise based upon race. What say you, Dale Jackson?
Now, why wouldn't they do that? I mean, they've learned that they can play the race card on every possible thing. And in some cases, they can win. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me one bit. If Republicans gerrymander because of politics, it's racist. If Democrats gerrymander because of politics, it's politics. And that's basically what the courts have decided.
Well, and that's what it looks like. And that's why I'm thinking that if we can get back to SCOTUS, maybe we can make that argument. But, I mean, it's a crapshoot whether we can get back to SCOTUS. Jeff?
Yeah, that's my concern. It seemed like that this is the Hail Mary pass, and we're at that next phase. Are they going to be able to connect? And part of it is just what will the unknown Supreme Court of the United States do? I always thought it was risky. Could they have mitigated some of the damage here and just give them what they wanted and drawn to 50% plus one districts and just take their chances and just outwork the Democrats? But they chose not to do that. So here we are, and I guess we're going to be on pins and needles over the next 2 years seeing what the Supreme Court will do.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. I mean, we're looking at – it'll be an emergency appeal, which means he'll ask for an expedited hearing. But I think we're going to be stuck with whatever the special master draws, at least for the next election cycle. I don't think they're going to grant an injunction. I think the 11th Circuit is going to say, thumb their nose at us and say, nah, you're going to get stuck with whatever we want. And then the Supreme Court – we'll see. I mean, and like I said a minute ago, guys, Supreme Court could decide not to even take it up, and then we're just stuck. We're just back to square one. At that point, every state in the nation is going to have race-based claims against anything drawn, and population quotas are going to be based on race and not just on voters. So anyway, it's a potential mess. Dale, you're next. What you got?
All right, two fun issues for the state of Alabama. Gambling and school choice are bubbling up in September for some reason. They're talking about these things. Is there any real movement on any of this? Or do you guys just like to hear themselves talk?
Well, you faded out for a second. Gambling and what?
School choice.
Ah. Well, I mean, Jeff, you can take it first if you want.
Gambling, yes. Yeah. Stop it with the school choice, Dale.
I'm not the one doing it.
Yeah, you are. You're like, hey, it's school choice. Yeah, live local school choice all the time. It's just like, I don't know, man. I feel like we're reaching sometimes on that one. Well, the gambling coming up. Ivy says one thing, but my all indications is going to be gambling and ethics. Do you think they will do school choice be the third thing? So that's where I'm at on that. But gambling, it's the reason I think that's coming up all of a sudden out of the blue has more to do with what we're finding on this ad hoc committee with Andy Witt going around the state to these illegal gambling facilities.
Well, what they're finding is gambling's been going on in back rooms since time immemorial. I mean, I just think that whole thing is just like a worthless waste of time. Are people doing illegal backroom gaming? Yeah, of course they are. But why would we think that school choice would not be something they would consider?
Because I don't think they'll do it Thursday. But let me ask you real quick about that, because this is what they're doing, and it's kind of interesting that they're using this illegal gambling in back rooms as the justification for pursuing gambling in this next session. Does that really meet the smell test?
No. I look at it and say, that's just a cheap excuse, and I could go ahead and say, well, there's also illegal prostitution going on in back rooms, so why don't we just legalize it? Or there's also illegal drug dealing going on the street corners. Why don't we just legalize it? I mean, that's just such a farcical argument. If you don't want to enforce the existing laws, by the way, they say it's not being regulated. The finest form of regulation is criminal law. That's regulation. What they want to do is they want to expand gaming and get some tax revenue. That's what they want. Your own question, Dale. What are you thinking?
I don't know. You talk about gambling, prostitution, drugs. We should hang out. The simple fact is, I think they're bringing these up just, I don't think they're bored. But yes, I get the part about the gambling. They're finding stuff and they're kind of laying the groundwork. I just think the school choice thing, people just throw that out there just for the hell of it sometimes. And that's what this looks like.
So it sounded like a Hunter Biden weekend being planned is what it sounded like. Jeff, third question. What do you got?
Who's winning the library wars right now? Is it the so-called book burners, us mouth-breathing right-wingers out there? Or is it these well-meaning, just want to do the right thing librarians that want to enlighten children about the great literature classics?
I think who's winning is right now, no one was talking about this until the mouth-bringing mouth-breathing white right-wingers. I think
yes.
Groups like Moms for Liberty and others who are bringing this to the forefront are winning because people are talking about it, whereas they weren't before. So whether they'll prevail with great change, I don't know yet. I think there's more work to be done. But in terms of who's winning the PR war right now, it's the Moms for Liberty and other groups like them who have brought this to people's attention, and it's happening everywhere. Dale?
Well, I think the mouth breathers are winning right now, as Jeff Moore viciously calls caring mothers. What I think is a bigger issue here is Prattville City Council, I guess they had an opportunity to say, hey, okay, we're going to keep some of this stuff in our library, but let's make it parental permission, and they voted that down. That's a big L there, right?
I saw that headline this morning, and that was a huge L. And it was also not only an L, it was also questionable conduct. I mean, how do you explain that to your constituency? But here's the other thing, too. Apparently, it's actually woken up the governor. So, Jeff, didn't y'all have a headline this morning? Governor Ivy is now calling out the head of the State Library Association?
Yeah, and I'm not sure what to make of that. I mean, it was like a three-page letter, and she calls out the libraries in Foley and Ozark, where some of this is going on, asking questions of the Alabama Library Association. And I was Susan Dubos on your show last week.
Yeah.
I mean, and this may be a discussion for another time, but does it really behoove conservatives to use a heavy-handed approach here?
Does it behoove them to use a heavy-handed approach? I mean, what else is there? I mean,
you want to use the top-down approach. You want it from the bottom up. You don't want an active legislature. You want to do things that, you know, you don't want an all-powerful government bossing libraries right?
I think what you're looking at here is the epitome of what grassroots does. Grassroots empowers the legislature or the executive branch to take action because they heard the grassroots. I think that's what's happening. I don't think Ivy would have sent a three-page letter unless the grassroots hadn't been very active and vocal.
Let me just say this. I think Ivy's letter didn't go far enough. I think she should have started laying out some of the problems in these books, more so than she did in some of these other books that are actual problems elsewhere, and not sort of give them the cop-out they have in Mobile. We didn't even read the books. It's like, I guess that's true, but we know what's in these books. So, I mean, I'm just suggesting that maybe she should have gone a little harder, actually.
I could see it, but yeah, but back to Jeff's point, I think also the fact that that happened, it would not have happened had it not been for the grassroots. So I think the grassroots did what it's supposed to do. It brought the attention to the people who were elected to actually make the policy changes, and they're having to react. And that's the epitome of grassroots work right there. All right, fellers. God, that was a fast round. Round one's down. We're going to a break. We're with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. We call it the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back for round number two. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. All right, we're back with round number two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I believe I'm up first again. So, hey, fellas that just had John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, on the show a little while ago today. I think y'all have both had him on your shows here most recently. The strong rumor that he virtually confirmed, wink, wink, nod, nod, was that we're going to have a GOP presidential primary debate here in Alabama, with very likely the location being the University of Alabama. In his own words, he would love for the world to hear University of Alabama constantly in the discussions about the debate. What say you about Alabama's possibilities of hosting a major event like that? Dale.
Yes, it's happening. I'm glad to see it. I hope they ask him about the Space Command and what Tommy Tuberville is doing. It'd be nice to have some actual discussion about that as opposed to space aliens.
All right, Jeff.
Will some left-wing media outlet Photoshop Donald Trump's head over George Wallace standing in the schoolhouse door as a depiction of the GOP at the University of Alabama?
You're saying they did do that, or are you waiting for it to happen?
I'm waiting for that to happen. Call him a shot right here.
Wow. Just bringing the taint to it. Well, you know, so we'll wait and see. I think the reality is this is the one, too. They're also saying that Trump is more likely to participate in because he has an affinity for Alabama and knows he's in safe territory. But I mean,
0% chance.
You think 0% chance he'll participate in that one?
He's blowing it out. Why would he?
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying this is the one that they say that he may participate in just because of audience reaction. But we will see. I hear zero enthusiasm from the two of you. So y'all don't want it here? You could care less? Or what's the deal?
No, it's a big deal and it's important. What does Trump do instead? Does he have like a press conference in Auburn to counter? I mean, so like I think there's a chance he comes. But. We'll see. It's not going to matter if he's not there.
I'm looking at that, and mine was less about Trump and more about the idea of Alabama being the host, which I think puts us on the map. I mean, oftentimes we're overlooked in the primary season, and I would love for us to be seen as that red state that hosted a major event. So that's just me. That's where we are. Dale, what do you got?
Joe Biden's little boy, little crackhead Hunter, looks like he's going to get charged with something. Are they going to try to slip something past the goal again, where they give him immunity on a bunch of things in exchange for one thing, or are we going to get a legit attempt to go after this guy?
Well, yeah, so you're referring to the news that broke today that Special Counsel David Weiss, who actually had the prosecution before and made the awful deal, is now saying that by the end of this month, he intends to seek an indictment for a grand jury on the gun charge. So I don't know, man. I mean, I the double standard. I did a whole section of my show right before y'all came on about the level of double standards we're seeing in the application of criminal law by the DOJ. I hold out no hope on this. We'll see. But you know, stranger things have happened, Jeff.
Yeah, we've been hearing this Hunter thing for like 5 years now, and I keep waiting for something to happen. Republicans have Congress. They got subpoena power. There's something about a government shutdown. They got to freeze that. Some of that going on. Investigations going on. I don't know. I mean, how much longer do we have to wait?
It's a great question, and I'll be honest with you. The electorate's getting tired of waiting. And I made the point earlier in the show, you can't throw together an indictment just off of emotion. You have to have the case built, and they've only had 2 years with subpoena power to work with. But I do believe that some things have got to start breaking sometime soon, and Hunter Biden's crap has got to start breaking sometime soon. Your own question, Dale, you got anything to add to it?
No, I think they're going to try to make a case that they're actually pursuing this pretty hard, and I think he'll try to prove a point here, but he'll still be protected nonetheless.
All right, last question, Jeff. What do you got?
A headline at AL.com. This is Jack Reed saying, is Senator Tuberville more interested in, quote-unquote, spotlight in continuing military holds? I guess the takeaway here is that he's not doing this for any legitimate reason. He's not trying to protect the lives of the unborn or, keep the DOD from violating the Hyde Amendment or whatever it may be. Is he just doing this for self-attention, self-promotion? Is that what's going on here?
Well, there's easier ways to self-promote. I mean, I don't know, take the Ice Bucket Challenge or something if you want to. But he's facing a continued onslaught, but he's also facing the extreme, appreciation of the right. First of all, it's a fallacy. I think that's the second time I've used that word today. It's stuck now, but it's absolutely ridiculous that this is actually impeding national security. It's not. No, I don't think he's doing it because he's just, out there in the spotlight. But is he earning points with his base? Probably. Dale?
Yeah, I think he's becoming more popular, if that's even popular, or even if that's possible. But he could be doing both things. He could be doing something he believes is right, and something that's politically popular. That's sort of the best thing to do, right? So, I think that's what's happening
here. I agree. Your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
Tommy Tuberville is the most popular Republican by far in this state. He did not need to do this to make his star shine brighter. This is dumb. This is AL.com raising dumb questions. They know it's not true. Like, he can run against anybody in this state on the Republican ticket, and he's going to win. And this was long before the abortion in the military thing ever came up.
Who wrote this piece?
Your buddy Paul Geddes.
Ah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, if we can insult somebody, Paul or Whitmire will be at the forefront. and in fact, they'll be the ones typically running the headline that says something along the lines of Alabama's the worst place to live, and yet they call it Alabama.com. All right, fellas, appreciate you both. That's Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, and also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News, and Dale Jackson, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, and Yellowhammer News. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. We'll be right back with Dipper number 3. Y'all stay tuned.